Araca benitai chade koruna hoibe samsara vasana mora kabe tuccha habe কবে শুদ্ধ হবে মানা কবে হা মহেরব শ্রী বৃন্দাবন বিষয় রঘুনাথ পদে হইবে আকুতি কবে হাম ভুজা বসে যুগল পিরি পদে হইবে আকুতি কবে হাম ভুজাবসে যুগল পিরিতি রূপার রঘুনাথ পদে রঘু মোরয়া প্রার্থনা করয়ে সদা নরোত্তম Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Binda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Binda. Sankirtana Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishambaro Vijabaro Yugadana Palo Vande Jagatshya Karo Kurnavakaro. So reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 20, verse 185 or so. Prabhavaibhavede vilasa dvidaka. Vilasira bilas bheda ananta praka. Vilasira bilas bheda ananta. Translation again, the vilas forms are divided into twofold categories, prabhav and vaibhav. Again, the pastimes of these forms are of unlimited variety. So again means they were divided before, and now they're divided again. So, purport. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita Purva Khanda, verse 17, it is stated, Tadrasho nyuna shaktin yo janakti sankhya irataha sankarsana dir matyadir yatatat svadamasu. When a form of Krishna is non-different from the original form, but is less important and exhibits less potency, it is called svangsa. Examples of the svangsa expansions can be found in the quadruple forms of the Lord residing in their respective places, beginning with Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and including the Purusha avatars, the Leela avatars, the Manvantara avatars, and the Yuga avatars. That includes a lot of avatars. So if somebody wants to specialize in learning about all these avatars, then they read the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. We've been hearing it about it. It's quoted extensively here. So Laghu means it's small. Rupa Goswami is writing it as the title in response, obviously, to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which, although they are overlapping, but it's quite different, and it is smaller. So it's the Laghu. It's not light, though. Laghu, sometimes we hear the word Laghu means light, as opposed to Guru. The Guru is heavy, he's not Laghu. If the Guru is Laghu, then Laghuta Krit Sudurlaba, like Rupa Goswami says, Laghuta Krit Sudurlaba, that makes moksha very light, devotional service, one of the six aspects. So, but this Lago Bhagavatamrita is not light. It's composed by Rupa Goswami. It's quite heavy. But still, he's calling it Lagu, out of humility. All the time, you see that the acharyas are beginning their books or writing their books in this mood of great humility, that I am nothing, I am worthless like a pile of ashes. I was just seeing that the Chaitanya Mangal, and he's writing, glorifying, 8 pages, just glorifying different acharyas, different devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that they're all eligible to sit on his head, and he is just worthless. He's trying to catch the moon to try to describe the pastimes of, and he does a very, very nice job. Our Lord Chandas Thakur, he's written, but without this ecstatic presentation, we are nobody, we're nothing. Just like now we're chanting, Prabir was chanting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. So you can read the song, but there's a certain mood that has to be there. He's singing it perfectly. Notice he wasn't looking, he knows the thing by heart. That means heart, he has it in the heart. And so it's coming out that way too. So all these shastras coming out of our acharyas, there's nothing dry. Although this is, even we hear all these different expansions, sometimes it can sound something a little tedious that so many names are there, but all the names, there's meaning. But the bottom line, Gauranga, he is the source of the avatars. Avatara Shara, Gaura Avatar. He is the essence of all the acharya, all the avatars. Sarvatra Prakash Tara Hoy Sukodite. All these, not only avatars, archa avatars, they're appearing in many temples. And that's described by Prabhupada also. Bhaktisanta Saraswati, that in Kanchipuram he's appearing like this, and Mayapur as Hari. There are different temples throughout India that Krishna's appearing in his different avatars, Srirangam, all the big temples and smaller temples, they all have their archa vigraha being worshipped by the local devotees and the pilgrims. When Vidura left the palace, I read about that in the first canto, especially Duryodhana was a big rascal. So he said, get rid of this, because he was, obviously, Vidura was not very favorable toward Duryodhana. Duryodhana threw this guy out, just leaving with only his breath. So before that could happen, he just left his, Vidura left his bow on the side of the building, and they just walked out. He felt contaminated, having associated with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. Although he's a great devotee, still he left there. So in the purport there, Prabhupada mentions this verse from Kaviraj Goswami, Sarva Tra Prakash Oitar Sukhodite. So that Krishna's appearing, he saw wherever Vidura went. He went to so many temples, he would see that, even if he didn't go into the temple, you could see the chakra above. And just like Thakur Haridas, Rupa, and Sanatana, they weren't going even inside the temple, such personalities, but they were just seeing the chakra. Mahaprabhu said, this is sufficient as seeing Jagannath. Of course, they would see during the Rath Yatra. But so Vidura was wandering all around India, what we know as India, and getting darshan in all the temples, becoming more and more purified. Sarvatra Prakash, so everywhere he's appearing in all these temples. What does it say then? Adharma, Jagatir Adharma Nasha Stapite. All the Adharma Nasha is destroyed. When one comes to the temple, one sees the deity or one sees the chakra. We also have small chakra on top of our temple. People might drive by. Gragar is already freaking out. No, what's the matter? Say it again. Say what again? Quote that verse. Sarvatra Prakash Boy. Yeah, about the chakras. So, yeah, with, not necessary that only see the chakra, you can see the deity. But if you only see the chakra, just like Rupa Sanatan, Thakur, they wouldn't even go. Sanatan Goswami wouldn't, he was so felt so contaminated, he wouldn't even go in front near the Singhadwar gate in Jagannath Puri. So these deities being mentioned as Prakash, they're also, or these forms of Krishna in the Vaikunthas, and we're going to read more. Let me just read these slokas. Okay. So, yeah, we just read this. When a form of Krishna is non-different from the original, but is less important. So, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Nirudra, including the Purusha avatars, all these avatars, they're less important than the original form. What is the original form? Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satyananda, Sarvakaran. He's Sarvakaran Karma. Ete cha angsa kara pungsam. Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna Swayam, samabhavat, like that in the Brahma Sanhita. Krishna is the ultimate form from everything. When you read the Sandarbhas, in each Sandarbha, but the Krishna Sandarbha, and he's giving all the different forms of Krishna, and he's giving all the different forms of the devotees and the holy Dham, coming to always to the conclusion, Krishna is the Supreme, Krishna is the Supreme. Although we don't reject, but still, everything is there in Krishna. So we come, no need that we have every murti set up. But still, when we do our, it's going to be mentioned here, when we say our tilak, or when we hear the names of the monks, we don't say them so much in Sanskrit, but they all have names of the Vishnu expansions. What to speak here is mentioned Yuga Avatar. We're worshipping the Yuga Avatar. Chana Kalo Yadabhavashtri Yugota Sattvam. The discussion was the other day on the different Yuga Avatars. Okay, now, this is verse 186. Prabhavilas Vasudeva Sankarshan. Prabhavilas Vasudeva Sankarshan. Pradyumnani Rudha Mukya Charijan. Pradyumna Aniruddha Mukya Charijan. The chief quadruple expansions are named Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. These are called Prabhav Vilas. So Vilas, they also means they have their pastimes. Even we have our pastimes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amiya Vilas, Amala Harinam, Amiya Vilas. My pastime is chanting Hare Krishna. So that should be our pastime. And Bhagavatam describes, we're just seeing in Gopal Champu, some of the Jiva Goswamis speaking about Aniruddha and Pradyumna, the pastimes. He's repeating it very, another nectar way, in another way, just from a different vichar. Just like sometimes people don't know, but there's one bhajan where Prabhupada says, he sings Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then he sings Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, separately. So he's playing harmonium, very wonderful recording. He says, so Hare Krishna is there in a different way. It becomes more palatable. So it's not that just by chanting half, that's Maya. It's not actually Maya. Prabhupada chanted it like that. Maybe not in the street, Sankirtan. They do that. Other groups, they do that. We don't do it so much because we don't know. But Prabhupada chants it like that. He said, and makes it more palatable. So similarly, like Sukadev, Sukha, he's the parrot. He tastes, becomes more palatable. When Jiva Goswami is tasting and presenting again Gopal Champu or Sandarbha, it's more palatable. So the more one knows Yata Tata Gaura Padalam, the more he knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can relish all these other pastimes of Krishna, the more. So, and those detailed pastimes are there. In fact, when it was being repeated by one of these boys, I think Snigdha Kanta, one of them, then Nanda Maharaj was listening, saying, ah, yes, it has become more palatable now, because he was hearing the story of Aniruddha and Pradyumna, how I think Nagaraj told in detail last week about Pradyumna, and he was thrown in the water and eaten by this fish. And it's pretty amazing, and how the lady cut him open, but actually she was wife and Rati. And he became, within 6 years old, he was already mature. And she was feeling bad because she felt romantic for this little baby, but ultimately it was revealed that it was her husband, and how Pradyumna, being Cupid, he'd been burnt by Lord Shiva and cursed like this and come to this form, or somehow or other he appeared. So then the Aniruddha story is there also. So while listening to this, then the residents of Vrindavan, they are saying, wow, this is very, yes, that's true, Aniruddha. He is actually the original Aniruddha, Pradyumna, the original Aniruddha. Why not? Of course they are. And one is the son, one is the grandson. Pradyumna's son is Aniruddha. So these are the quadruple expansions, and they have very nice pastimes. How Aniruddha was so attractive that Usha had never seen even a boy in her life, and she was dreaming about this boy every night. And then one night she couldn't dream, and then she was like, oh, feeling disturbed. So her other girlfriend, she said, oh, what happened? I said, oh, this boy in my dream, I see him in my dream. Well, how is that possible? But this Chitralekha was so amazing that she drew all kinds of pictures of devas and great personalities throughout the universe. Finally, she drew that picture of Aniruddha. And then Usha said, that's him, that's it. So not only could she draw, but she had super mystic power. She could go and get him in the middle of Dwarka, where he was, and bring him there. And it was a dangerous place to go to that Sonitapur, where Banasura was, he had like 1,000 arms. He could defeat anyone but Lord Shiva. Somehow he was very favored of Lord Shiva. And he could shoot, imagine, he could shoot 2 bows also, 1,000 like this. And bah, bah, bah. Nobody was going to mess with him. And his whole place was completely sealed up with all kinds of moats of gashes thing. Nobody could ever get in there. So how this boy, but she brought him, that Chitralekha, she brought him by mystic power. Aniruddha was there. And then after a while, some of the residents, the guards or the ladies, could see there's something going on here with this girl in the quarters. And doesn't exactly say what, but the symptoms were there. So Banasura heard and he came there. Wow, that's a scary thing, Banasura with 1,000 arms. And he was always proud, too, of his arms. He could destroy anyone. He wouldn't fight with Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva said, don't worry. In some short time, you'll get a chance to use your arms. So there was we know this huge battle with Lord Shiva defending, somehow defending Banasura also. Ultimately, it came to, there was that Shiva Dvara and then the Vishnu Dvara fever, which knocked out. So this was all being told, actually, in the Gopal Champu, and they were all fascinated listening to it. It's an amazing story, all about Aniruddha. And ultimately, Aniruddha's granddaughter married, who was it? That Rukmi's son? Or was it that? Yeah. It was kind of strange. Wow, how did that happen? They all wanted to know. I mean, this Rukmi is such a rascal. Did he become attracted to Krishna? And they said, not really, no, you'll find out, I'll tell you what happened, you know, because Balaram actually smashed him, killed him, boom, the club. And so, okay, so we're up to 187. Vraje gopi gopa bhavaramira puri katriya bhavam. Vraje gopa bhavaramira puri. Varna besha bheda tate vilasha tarana. Balaram, who has the same original form of Krishna is himself a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. We just read that verse just not long ago. It says, Varna Matra Babe. That the only difference is the color, at least in that shloka, right? He's whitish. Of course, his servitude mode, his mood is to serve Krishna, but still, he's so powerful. Sometimes they're thinking differently also. That means they're different. They're not different. Balaram has the same original form of Krishna, is himself a coward boy in Vrindavan, and he is also considered himself to belong to the Kshatriya race in Dwarka. Thus, his color and dress are different, and he is called a pastime form of Krishna. Gopa Bhav, Ramir Pure Kshatriya Bhavan, Barnabesh Bhe Tate Bilash Talna. 188. Vaiva Prakashe Ara Prabhava Bilashe. Ekai Murtye Bala Deva Bhava Bede Bhase. Sri Balaram is a Vaibhav Prakash manifestation of Krishna. He is also manifest in the original quadruple expansion of Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Paduna, and Aniruddha. These are Prabhav Vilas expansions with different emotions. Aniruddha is also the sometimes worshipped in a forearm form by the yogis. Of course, nowadays the yogis don't. Modern yogis, they're more like impersonal. They have some invented concocted meditation. They don't realize. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasapa santiyam yogino. Probably used to quote this verse many times, 12th canto verse. The yogis should be situated meditating on Krishna, some form of Krishna, especially this Aniruddha is meant for the yogis, for controlling the mind. Maya sakta mana parta yogam yamjamanash ashankshyam samagramam yatagyasas itach yoga indriya sangya. This yoga, bhakti yoga, is meant for controlling the mind. So the impersonalists, they take their long way around, they're trying to. Kapila Dev is given all the different meditation of the form of Vishnu, the feet, the toes, the effulgence in the toes, it smashes the mountain of sin in the meditating devotee, yogi. So we don't think that we don't have sin, we're sinless, no. The yogis, nowadays they think they're just pure or something, they don't realize. They have all these vasana desires coming one after another, but so they're unable to get rid of it. They don't take to this path, worshipping Aniruddha, worshipping Krishna directly, nothing of the kind. They're simply doing some, or they're claiming, even now, they're claiming their incarnations themselves. Someone showed some video the other day, this popular Vrindavan Basi, but he's claiming now that he's Krishna, and he's the 129th incarnation. But they're chanting Hare Krishna sometimes also, so it's kind of tricky. They can easily bewilder. But he's claiming he's Krishna. And we know others, even worse, have claimed. We've heard about it. Even within 3 miles away, there's so many bogus incarnations are worshipped in one temple there. And they don't know what they're worshipping. They have no knowledge. So we're always thankful. In our line, we're getting the knowledge from all our acharyas. There's no question. Yata gyasasi tatrinu. You hear from me. Yaraton yata. There'll be nothing left, Krishna tells Arjuna. I'll tell you everything. Gayama tat pravaksham. You will taste the eternal. So we get directly Bhagavad Gita as it is, therefore. Yad gyatam itamashnute. We taste it. It's not licking the outside jar or worshipping some bogus rascal. No. Getting directly here.
Balaram, it says by Bhav Prakash. Now, Prakash means like the same, right?
Yeah.
But then it says that all these are Prabhav Vilash. Vilash means different, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, let me read it again. Balaram, this one, right? 188?
Yeah.
Balaram is a Vaibha Prakash of Krishna. He is also a manifest original. These are Prabhav Vilas expansions with different... Well, that first verse we wrote said that there's two categories here, 185. It said, again, the Vilas forms are divided into twofold categories, so they're all Vilas, but some are Prabhav Vilas, and some Vaibha Vilas. It gets a little technical. So they're all the loss, it says here, in 185. So it's combination. It's combination.
Well, you accept them as having the same type of form or a different type of form.
Achincha. It's achincha, right? He disagrees with Krishna on so many things, but he's Krishna. And he's the greatest servitor of Krishna, but he still disagrees. Usually you don't disagree. If Prabhupada asked us to do something, we would say, well, Prabhupada, I think I'm going to go to New York. Prabhupada tells you to go to India, and you say, no, I think I'm going to go to New York. Well, nobody did that, right? Balaram can get away with that. He's very powerful. Okay, we did 188. 189. All right. Adi chatur bhuha ihar keha nahi sham. Ananta chatur bhuha ganira prakatya karan. The first expansion of the chatur bhuha quadruple form is unique. There's nothing to compare with them. These quadruple forms are the source of unlimited quadruple forms. Right? Okay. Ananta Chatur Bhuha Ganya. So, no one can know. That's the last line of that verse. Yasyantam Navadu Sorasa. This is 13th chapter, 12th canto, first verse, describing how all the devas are worshiping Krishna and all the yogis are worshiping Krishna. The Upanishads, the Samveda, they're all glorifying Krishna. And so the last line says, Yas yantam navadu sura suragana desmaidima. His end, no one knows. Yas yantam navadu. They cannot know. Who? Or the demons or demigods, nobody. Sura, suragana, asura, suragana, whoever they are, no end cannot be known. So even Shesho Dunapi, Shesha is also Balaram, the second canon describes Shesho Dunapi. To this day, Aduna has not come to the end of glorifying Krishna. But the main point is to glorify. This is one of the things that we read, whether it's Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, or any of our Vaishnavas, like Lochan Das. They feel very humble and significant, but they said, but at least I know that by glorifying, however unqualified I am, if I glorify, then it will please Krishna, will please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will please the devotees, right? Like, we have these Vaishnav Toshani, these tikas, and these books, this periodical Vaishnav Sajjana Toshini, just to satisfy, because devotees want to hear it again and again. They never tire. Arjuna says, I never tire. Vayam tu navatripyamo uttamashlokali yachinvatam rasa ganam fathers. Relish it again and again. Read the whole first canon again. I was just thinking this morning, I want to read the first canon. I don't have time. No, I want to read second. Sometimes I just sit there like, what am I going to do? Just like I have a lot of paintings to finish. I never finish them, but it's just an excuse. Not because I'm in, prema, but because I'm in maya. But still, we should just relish it. Whether one does it, like Prabhupada said, if you take a bag of sugar, it's sweet anywhere. You can taste it anywhere. You don't have to do it in any particular way. But you can also do it according to krama. Yes, many people are like that. I just read the Chaitanya Charitamrita for the fifth time, and I always think, wow, I wish I could say something. I probably did read it five times, but I just jump here, there, and my mind is like, some people have mind like that. But the point is to relish it. Even they say, right, Kaviraj Goswami, when Jagadananda Pandit was writing his book, what is his book called? Prema Vivarta. So Swarup Damodar, none other than Swarup Damodar, the most intimate associate secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Jagadananda was known to be eccentric. You can read his pastimes. He took the big jug of sandalwood oil, you know, smashed in the courtyard. Very sulkingly angry with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They knew each other since they were 6, 7 years old. Anyway, so when he was writing, then Swarup Damodar said, "Oh, Jagga, hey, Pandit, what are you writing?" Because he saw it in a corner somewhere under a tree once in a while. He's writing, right? "What are you writing?" He said, "Oh, you're just writing something, anything, whatever comes to my mind." So he said, "I'm not putting anything here in consecutive order. I'm just writing whatever coming out." So, but there's so much nectar there. But who minds? It's just pure nectar, whatever comes out. He gives some philosophy. He gives some pastime that you never heard. Only he was there. Just like that lake. What was the name of that lake? Where the crocodile came out. And Jagadananda said, "I have no talent for singing or dancing. I don't even know." "I'm completely clumsy," he says. "But still, I'm floating with Mahaprabhu, with Nimai Pandit and all these great devotees, you know, and they're singing and floating around Navadvipa area." They came to that lake, and in the lake, first there was some coward boys, and they said, "Oh, we can't bring our cows to this lake because there's a crocodile there." So Nimai Pandit said, crocodile? So he went to the lake and he started singing, chanting, and the crocodile came and surrendered, became a deva right in front of their eyes. Okay. So most of us don't have those kind of pastimes with Nimai Pandit. So he's writing, he wanted to get it out, and he wrote it very poetically, right? So we hear so many times he's being quoted. Guru Mile Nahi, Guru Krishna Nahi Mile, Bajahari Ai. He said, "Janame Janame Sad Pita Mata Pai." Jagadananda, in so many births, you get mother and father, but only as a human being then you can get liberated from this material world. You get the Hari and the Guru, Hari Guru Vaishnava. So he put it in his own poetic way. That's the point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we read all the Bengali shlokas of Lochan Das, he's writing exactly the right different types of ragas, according to, they're all sung beautifully. And you would think, how could anyone do anything more than that? But still, Bhaktivinoda comes along, you know, 350 years later, and he writes a little bit different ways. It's pure ecstasy also. So it's always increasing. Ananda buddhi vardhanam pratipadam puram. It's not dry, it's not static. So, okay. So we heard that the quadruple forms are unlimited. You are limited. I did a painting, and I showed it to Prabhupada in the last few months in Vrindavan, and he was looking at it. And I was like getting nervous, and you know, I mean, looked at it a long time. According to anybody's calculation, it was just like 40 seconds or a minute, and didn't say one thing. And then he said, "What is the idea of this painting?" And I'm like, I didn't quote anything. I said, "The pastimes are unlimited." Prabhupada said, "Pastime, Krishna is unlimited. You are limited. Stick to the book." I even said, "Oh, it's nectar devotion, coward boys." That wasn't good enough. Prabhupada said, "What shloka is it?" I didn't have the shloka. So, yes, he said, "Krishna is unlimited. You are limited." So we are limited. These four, okay, we're up to 190. Krishna e chari Prabhava Vilas. Dwarka Matura Pure Nitya Iharava. These four Prabhava pastime forms of Lord Krishna reside eternally in Dwarka and Mathura. So when Krishna's residing in Mathura, he's not the original Krishna. But in Lochandas, in the beginning of his book, then he's describing, after glorifying, he comes to the point that Narad Muni was seeing in Kali Yuga everything was horrible, there was no religion. So he went to, I guess he could do that, most of us can't do that, and then he somehow went to Dwarka and met with Krishna. Just that time, just before that, Krishna came, was enjoying with Satyabhama in her palace. Of course, Krishna is enjoying simultaneously, but somehow or other, he's expanding simultaneously with all these queens of Dwarka. But it's mentioned there, he's with Satyabhama. And Satyabhama, at the time, it was heard that he was going to go next to Rukmini's palace. So Rukmini, hearing or knowing, sensing, she has her messengers, she prepared everything. She looked beautiful. She had other queens there, like Mitravinda, Nagna, Jiti, like that. So when Krishna came, and there was all kinds of preparation with ghee lamps and festive, very auspicious occasion, of course. Although Krishna is there, still he's coming there. We can't imagine how that could be. We hear that he's always there with each queen, anytime he wants. So Rukmini was she was enjoying an ecstasy, but then she was also lamenting. Krishna said, "Why are you lamenting? Are you still upset because I was joking with you?" You know, and then remember she fell down like a banana plant, you know, because he was saying that in the 10th canto, how you should have better married someone else. I'm not really qualified. You could have married one of those Shishupal. Imagine that. Such a rascal. Anyway, she fainted. So, are you still upset over that? What's the matter? I said, "No, I'm not upset, but I'm just thinking you're going to leave. And you really don't appreciate how we feel, we devotees feel. I mean, just imagine Radharani. What she feels, we all want to feel what Radharani feels. But you, somehow or other, you can't appreciate that." So at that time, Krishna kept saying over and over again, he sat Rukmini on his lap and he kept saying, "Wow, what you just said is amazing. Can you say it again? I've never heard this. I really don't appreciate that, you know." So anyway, at the time, Narad Muni arrived, and at the same time, he appeared as Gauranga. Narad Muni was feeling very despondent because of Kali Yuga. He said, "All these people, irreligious, you know, everybody knows Kali Yuga is no good. I go around and Namanyanantasya," actually it's described there in the first canto, how Narad Muni goes, "Namanyanantasya hatatra papata." He actually described the Ananta. Namanyanantasya hatatra. With no shame, Namanyanantasya hatatra papata guyani badani, constantly reciting the glories of Krishna. Still, he said, "It does not really, somehow or other, I don't feel like I'm doing much for these persons, so you have to." So then Krishna, he showed his form. He said, "I will appear as this Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and all his devotees will appear different ways." So although he's in Dwarka, he's still thinking of Radharani, he's thinking how to deliver everyone. So that's one of the backstories, how Gauranga first appears to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni goes proclaiming, "Yes, yes." We know that Narad Muni appears. Narad Muni Bhajaya Vina Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's glorifying Narad Muni like that. Okay, we have to go through these verses here. From the original quadruple expansion, 24, forms are manifest. They differ according to the placement of weapons in their four hands. They're called vaibhav vilas. So you have vaibhav vilas, just to make it a little more confusing. I'll just read these. Puna Krishna Chaturbhuha Loya Purva Rupe Parabhyama Madhye Vaishye Narayana Rupe. Lord Krishna again expands, and within the Parabhyama, the spiritual sky, he is situated in fullness as the four-handed Narayana, accompanied by expansions of the original quadruple form. Purport. At the top of the Parabhyama, the spiritual sky, there is Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Mithyam. Sastapatam Kamalam. We're reading Brahma Samhita, describe all these things, the Chatur. How is there in Goloka? Namini Nijadamni Tale Chatasya. The highest abode is Goloka. It's above the top of the spiritual sky, which is divided into three parts. Two of the parts, called Mathura and Dwarka, are the residence of Krishna in his Prabhav Vilas form. Balaram, Krishna's Vaibhav Prakash, is eternally situated in Gokula. From the quadruple Prabhav Vilas, 24 forms of Vaibhav Vilas are expanded. Each has four hands holding weapons in different positions. The topmost planet in the spiritual sky is Goloka Vrindavan, and below that planet is the spiritual sky itself. In that spiritual sky, Krishna himself is four-handed and is situated as Narayana. Thus, the original quadruple forms again manifest themselves in a second quadruple expansion. The residences of these second quadruple expansions cover the four directions. Again, these quadruple forms expand three times, beginning with Keshava. That is the fulfillment of the pastime forms. Out of the Chatur Vyuha, there are three expansions of each and every form, and they are named differently according to the position of the weapons. The Vasudeva expansions are Keshava, Narayan, and Madhava. The expansions of Sankarshan are Govinda, Vishnu, and Madhusudan. Because we can find pastimes, Madhusudan, the killer of Madhu. This Govinda is different from the original Govinda, for he is not the son of Maharaj Nanda. The expansions of Pradyumna are Trivikram, Bhamana, and Sridhar. The expansions of Aniruddha are Rishikesh, Padmanabha, and Damodara. These 12 are the predominating deities of the 12 months. Keshava is the predominating deity of Agrahayana, and of course it's given here what that means in the word meanings. Margashirsha, the month of Agrahayana, November, December, and Paush, month of Damodar, December and January, like that. The predominating deity for the month of Magh is Madhava, and the predominating deity for the month of Phalgun is Govinda. Vishnu is predominating deity for Chaitra, and Madhusudan for Vaishakh, April, May. In the month of Jaishta, the predominating deity is Trivikram, in Ashadha, deity is Vamana, in Shravana, the deity is Sridhar, in Bhadra, the deity is Rishikesh. Month of Ashvin, the predominating deity is Padmanabha, that's September, October, and in Kartik, it is Damodar, October, November, Vajendra Konar. This Damodar is different from Radha Damodar, the son of Nanda Maharaj. When putting the 12 tilak marks on the 12 places of the body, one has to chant the mantra consisting of these 12 Vishnu names. After daily worship, when one anoints the different parts of the body with water, these names should be chanted as one touches each part of the body. So when marking the body with tilak, one should chant the following mantra consisting of the 12 names of Vishnu. Lalati Keshavam Jayam Narayana Matodare Vakshastale Madhavantu Govindam Kanta Kupake Vishnum Cha Dakshine Kukshau Bahu Cha Madhusudanam Trivikramam kandaretu vamanam vamapashvake Shridharam vamabahotu vishkesham tukandare Prishtecha padmanabham cha Kapyam damodaram yasat. One marks the forehead with tilak, he must remember Keshava. He marks the lower abdomen, he must remember Narayan. For the chest, one should remember Madhava. Marking the hollow of the neck, Govinda. And the Lord Vishnu should be remembered while marking the right side of the belly. Mother Sudan, remembered when marking the right arm, Trivikram. When marking the right shoulder, Vamana should be remembered when marking the left side of the belly. Sridhar, remembered marking the left arm, Rishikesh. When marking the left shoulder, Padmanabha and Damodar should be remembered when marking the back. Okay. Questions? I mean, there was a bunch of verses there, so.
What is the reference for the pastime of Gauranga Mahaprabhu appearing to Narada Muni?
This is the beginning, not the very beginning, but within the first 20 pages, 200 shlokas or so, of Chaitanya Mangala.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. This is an easy one. Whatever happened with the painting that Prabhupada was collecting?
It's not that easy, actually. It was torn into 2 million pieces and distributed. No, it was, I never knew until years later, but I don't know why, what I did with it when I left Vrindavan. I guess I was detached, but there's a lady named Manya Kumari? No, her name, not Mankumari, but Manya. Does anyone here remember? No. Do you remember? No, she doesn't even remember. So I don't know who here remember. Her name is Manya. Anyway. Huh? She used to come to Henry Street, and she was married to an Indian, and her kids used to pose there. Anyway, her name is Manya. It'll come to me. She got that painting. You remember? You lived in Vrindavan. What's your name? She took over Bhagachi's house, much to the chagrin of Kirti Raj and Tosan, but especially Kirti Raj. She took it over. That she still owns it if she's still around. I'm sure her sons. She made it miserable for them. Yeah, her name is.
So she has your painting.
She told me at Skirmahorn back in the early 90s that she had the painting, right? And I said, oh, that's interesting. Anyway, she told me how she's schemed to get that house, Bhagavati's house. It's only like a stone's throw from the temple there in Krishna Balaram Mandir. So she had the painting. I have a photo of it. It's not that great. If anybody wants to know, I had to work on some maps of the fifth canto for Prabhupada tomorrow, because TKG and Sodananda, some other. So after that was over, I wanted to do something different. So I thought to myself, the veranda at the Krishna Balaram guest house, they had beautiful trees. Nowadays, I don't know, may not see those trees anymore. But I was decided to paint those trees. And I wasn't painting Krishna, to make a long story very short. So Yasodhananda and some others were laughing at me. They're saying, oh, you're just painting trees, what happened to Krishna, you know, not painting Krishna. So as an afterthought, what I said, well, yeah, they're right, you know, but I hadn't designed it properly, but I started painting Krishna and these two or three color boys. And then I didn't have many good references in those days. It was not such a great, I mean, the colors were nice, but it wasn't great painting. So I still wanted to show it to Prabhupada. So TKG arranged it, and Sura was there. He talks about it in his memories. You know. He was there, the one of the guards. And, so then Prabhupada said, what is the idea of painting? You know. So I didn't really have a clear idea. That's why I came up with it. unlimited. I thought I could get away with that. Well.
Narada Muni got an opportunity to associate with Mahaprabhu because Narada Muni is Shiva's pandit.
Right. He is. That gets brought out in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think that understanding. Very beginning we don't hear that, but later on. I haven't read it in a long time, so I started rereading it. So then, I only read the first 200-300 verses, you know.
We'll forgive you.
Huh?
We'll forgive you. I have another thing. Didn't Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he spoke to Vaidura, say that your visiting the holy places will purify the holy place? He came up with the verse that saintly persons,
right,
when they go to the holy places.
He came back from the holy places. Huh? He spoke that shloka when he had come back.
Oh.
Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Santastin.
So,
anyone else's hand up? Okay, Hare Krishna.
All right.